like weather. It is very nice. I know I'm liking it. And be careful, though, when you're driving around these streets, around these parts. Make sure Rudolph don't jump out and attack your car, your truck. And they're always moving around and doing things in the woods. And I know, of course, the Martins had that accident going to Florida with a deer jumping out. And then from what I hear, I think after that, Amanda was driving and a car in front of her hit a deer. And so, early rut season. But anyway, it's a great time when the seasons change and starting to get into the holiday seasons. It's hard to believe we're upon the holidays and Thanksgiving and Christmas, and time is just passing by, isn't it? And one year rolls into the next. But anyway, it's good to be here tonight, and good to have Brother Don and Sister Carla with us, all the way from Peru, Cajamarca. And so good having you with us. And again, congratulations on your anniversary there, but all that the Lord has done and doing through you guys. You're all an inspiration to us back here in the States. And we just appreciate you. And not only, you know, happy anniversary on that, but, you know, you're from here. I mean, this is your home sending church. So we take great pride in that as well. And it's so good to have you with us. Let's jump right into things tonight. We'll mention some prayer requests and some reminders, and then we'll have a time of prayer, and Brother Jeff will have a song for us. Continue to remember the nation of Israel, and it's just unreal to hear some of these stories of the families that's been killed, the children, and actually some of the, I can't think of the word, but execution style, just murdering and killing is terrible. But let's pray for Israel. I know you have been. Let's continue to. And God's chosen people, and those who bless Israel, God will bless. Those who curses Israel, God will curse. And so we definitely stand with Israel tonight, and we'll just pray for them. Continue to remember Brother Brian Busby's pastor friend. He was away preaching there this past Sunday, not doing well. Forgive me, I have forgotten the name, but I do know it's his close friend, just not doing well. He needs your prayers. I mentioned Dylan Brown. Been talking about Dylan Brown. This is the son of Pastor Thomas Brown and Misty Brown from Grace Baptist Church. And he was on vacation, and he woke up, or he didn't wake up. He was alive, but he was not conscious, and had to do with a tumor on his brain there in the sinus canal area. I said he went home. He's not home yet, but he is doing really well. So I wanted to make sure that I made that clear. I know some go back and listen from Grace, and I just wanted to make that clear. He is doing great, not home yet. There's actually some pictures of him on Facebook smiling and doing good. And so we praise the Lord for that as well. And let's remember Brother Ceylon tonight. He goes tomorrow, actually, on his second eye surgery, and had that first one done. And I spoke with him yesterday on the phone, and he said, "Justin, I was getting ready to buy a new TV for the house, and because it was just so blurry, but I got that one eye fixed, and it's crystal clear." He said, "This eye surgery has saved me some money, at least on the television set." But so he goes to have the other one done tomorrow. He has 20/20, and the one that was corrected now, good Lord willing, he's going to have 20/20 on the other. And he's been waiting a long time. Finally got his A1C level down, and so he's excited about that. But just remember him when you pray. And, of course, it's good to see Miss Glenda with us tonight. I know she'd been out for a little bit with physical things going on, but good to see you, Miss Glenda. Yes, ma'am. Good to have you here. Dorothy Holcomb, Brother Allen, Clayton mentioned her this past Sunday morning. This is the daughter of Tracy Reese. She's in hospice care and has COVID, and so she's just not doing well. If we could continue to remember her when we pray. that will be great. Our children's home, let's remember them, the house parents and staff, children, Brother Harold, let's remember him in prayer. And again, the Palmers, Miss Dolores is over her surgery and has recovered. As you know, the doctors released her as of coming over, but I know she still has some healing to do with the type of surgery that it was, but she's doing better, and so we praise the Lord for that. Miss Connie Norton, this is Trail's wife, home still with heart issues. Brother Jeff and sister-in-law Angie with her heart trouble. Miss Claudia, the Ely's, the Ashworths, the Daly's, and some of these names that I read out every week, they request to be on here on a more so a permanent basis, just things going on in their life that, you know, hasn't been, things haven't been answered yet, prayers from the Lord. So the Daly's, Ashworths, all of our shut-ins, including Barbara Anderson, Jenny Clanton, and Jimmy, the McCrickards, Joyce Manning, and those serving the military. As of right now, we just have one. That's James Tolan Brown, the Marines, and Kevin Brook, who's at Champion Christian College. And so let's remember him in our prayers. I'll open up the floor. If someone has a prayer request or a praise, Miss Marion.
Yeah, I talked to Claudia today, and she was having a really bad day. She had some plumbing work done in her kitchen, and the person that was fixing the plumbing sprayed some stuff in the house, and she was really having a hard time breathing.
It's not good for her. It's not good for anyone. But
really, she sounded bad. Because I said to her, I even asked her if she wanted to go to the hospital, and she said she had already called the doctor, and
yeah. Let's remember Miss Claudia and her health. Hassan?
Pray for me. I want to get surgery done on my forehead where my brain is kind of
dead. Oh, okay. When is that going to be?
I think November 13th. I'm not sure. I don't remember.
Okay. This, you know where it's going to be done at? It's going to be in Atlanta or?
Mary Heather.
Okay. Okay. We'll be praying for you on that, son, and let us know closer to that date. We'll have special prayer for you. Someone else? That's right. I got that right here, and I was looking at it, and I said something slipped my mind, and I was looking right at it. November 17th, and this is a mass on your kidney. Benign.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. All right, well, let's remember that as well, Brother Jeff. It always feels like I'm forgetting somebody or some situation. Anyone else? Okay. All other unspokens? The Lord knows about it for sure. All right, well, Saturday, the big yard sale. And look at it as a fun time. We're going to be cooking out, hamburgers, hot dogs. Brother Larry actually called me the other day and asked me how I felt about him as an appetizer kind of deal for everyone in the community to make some boiled peanuts. I said, I thought you'd never ask. And so Brother Larry is going to make those some hot boiled peanuts. And the weather is certainly fitting for that. That's going to be a great time. There is going to be a charge on those because, again, this is to raise money for our building project starting on the hallway here. But those are going to be
$2.
I believe we said $2 a bag. And, of course, for the hamburgers and hot dogs, it's going to be donations. And, you know, we want to give to the community, but at the same time, if we can replenish a little bit of that, the money spent on that, you know, that'll be good. So we'll have that. And let me say this while I'm on the subject. I was thinking about front lot, back lot. Well, he's going to be doing the cooking on the back lot. And, of course, if you're going up and down the road, you can look over and see all the activity. So we will be on the back lot. I feel like that's probably the best place. Everybody can park in the front lot. And we can use tables from the fellowship hall, and we'll just line them up. And again, we'll have Miss Lee Ellen. She's our designated banker for the day. And whenever there's a purchase made from someone's table, then they'll bring the money to Lee Ellen. And so if you got stickers to tag your stuff, that'll be great. If not, just know how much you're going to sell your stuff for. And so remember that. This is a community outreach as well. Those coming in, we want to invite to church. I have a bunch of Bibles left over, actually, from the postcards that were sent out. And I wish I didn't have a bunch of Bibles left over, but we do. And so I was thinking I'm going to make a church invitation because we don't have an official one. We have a little one about that little that I made a while back, a long time ago. But I'm just going to type something up, inviting people to church, and kind of fold it and put it in the Bible and hand out Bibles, invite people to church. I think that would be a nice touch. And it's from 10 to 3. Get here before 10 for setup. I'll probably be here by 8 or 8:30. Whatever you don't sell, just please take home. Nothing will be stored at the church. And just, you know, price your stuff reasonably. Bring good stuff. And, so people will be more apt to buy good stuff. And, of course, all the proceeds will go for our building project that we've been talking about. I'm just trying to keep things stirred up with that so that we can do that. Really want it in our hearts and minds. It'll go for painting this hallway. Now, I'll say this. I've talked to Carl, our painter, the one who painted downstairs, and he set up to go on Monday. And so let's pray that this need to be met. We want to have that whole, I mean, you won't be able to recognize that hallway. You already know. I mean, it's going to be beautiful, but just in time for the holidays, and I think that'll be great. So he's sitting on go. That'll be great. And so remember that. And everything that has to do with that. Does anybody have any questions about Saturday? Talked about it a lot, so try to cover everything. All right, remember that, if you would. We've had a sign-up sheet for the past couple services, and I think I counted 9 different signatures on there, 9 or 10, something like that. I'm sure there'll be some to show up who didn't sign up. So that was that sign-up sheet, but also there's a trunk or treat sign-up sheet for the 29th at 5 p.m. if you want to partake and participate in that, then if you don't mind, jot down your name so we'll get a general idea. And that'll be our evening service. That'll be what we're going to be doing on the last Sunday night of this month. Of course, we'll have food and all of that, but we'll be doing the trunk or treat. Again, reaching out to the community, giving an alternative of how people normally celebrate Halloween with all the horrors and scares. If we can do something like this and reach them, that'll be great. Also, this coming Sunday is Youth Sunday, and our youth will be doing the singing, Brother Brian doing the preaching in the morning, CJ at night, and so just young people all day on Sunday, and we're looking forward to that as well. And I believe I'm caught up. Anybody have anything else? Did I leave out anything? That's pretty much what we're looking at for the month of October. All right. Well, if that's all we have, all that would, and who are physically able, you can meet us in the altar. We'll have a time of prayer together. And then Brother Jeff has a song for us. glad we have someone to lean on. A couple more things before we get going tonight. Remember our visitors we've been having. Lily has had a couple friends from school, been coming on Sunday mornings, teenagers, and so that's what we need. And mom, and I believe the uncle has been coming. And Caitlin is, she came to me Sunday morning. She wanted to know, could she sing in the choir? And so, you know, we spoke with Brother Allen. We worked that out right quick. But I just think that that's a blessing to see a desire that quick to serve. But we're going to talk with her and talk with the family, remember them. And then Brother Larry Bennett was at a customer's house last night doing some electrical work. And he mentioned going to Calvary, and then they got to talking, and one thing led to another, and the guy he was servicing was a guy that I used to run with back before I got saved, and they called him Big Ben. And so Ben said that he's looking for a church to come to, and so he's supposed to be coming. I believe Brother Larry traded... didn't make him pay. He just said, come visit us at church. What a blessing that is. I'm telling you that to say don't pay, just come to church. That's, you know, God's going to bless for that. I know he will. But anyway, that'll be a blessing. And been having people come. And let's just pray that those who come, if they're not saved, will get saved. And if they are saved, that they will just get plugged in. Go ahead and make your way to Matthew chapter number 6, if you would. Matthew chapter number 6, in just a few moments, I want to read from verse number 33. You guessed it. Matthew 6, again in a few moments, we're going to look at verse number 33. As a parent, there's one thing I look for in Lily's life, among many things, that if this one thing is found, there's nothing that I wouldn't do for her or her mother wouldn't do for her. We both look for this one thing. And I'm sure all parents look for this in their children. And I'm sure even grandparents and great-grandparents look for this in their grandchildren, great-grandchildren. It's one word, and that's the word effort. Effort. You know, Lily may have ups and downs. She's in 10th grade, so you can imagine being a high schooler and, you know, coming from, well, it's her second year in high school, but coming from middle school into high school. Sometimes it takes an adjustment. There's an adjustment period. And no matter how much she struggles, the ups and downs, talking about school at least, as long as she puts forth that effort, there's nothing that we won't do for her. And being very proud of her and just doing whatever within reason, of course, what she would like. Looking for effort. Any coach of any sport looks for effort as well. Doesn't matter how much talent a player has. Doesn't matter how great their personality may be. The coach looks for effort. And the Braves had a lot of effort this year, just not enough at the end. And we're not going to get on sports right now. The rabbit, or the hare, was fast, but it was what that won the race? It was the, there you go, the tortoise, the turtle. It was the turtle that won the race. It doesn't matter how nice a car or boat or motorcycle is, if it isn't reliable, it's just money sitting in the driveway, isn't it? And I don't want that expensive, flashy frying pan that burns the top layer of its protection off with its first use. Give me the old iron skillet. And I say that about the flashy frying pan because the other day I was at Target and I was looking for actually a pot to buy to cook some, make some homemade chili. Don't get off subject here. Don't get distracted. Talking about chili. And Rachel Ray had one. My goodness, it was so expensive. So expensive. And sometimes those expensive frying pans are actually cheap frying pans, although you pay high dollar for. Give me the old iron skillet. So I guess you kind of see the picture of talking about effort. Let me say this. In like manner, the Lord is looking for the same thing in us. I know this is the Wednesday night crowd. I know this is the cream of the crop, the choir, so to speak, I'm preaching to, teaching to. But he's looking for the faithful. Don't turn there, but 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." He's looking for the faithful. He's looking for the steady. He chooses persistence over personality. And thank God for that, because sometimes I think I can just be a little dry. But he's not looking for personality tonight. He's looking for persistence. He chooses persistence over personality. He chooses the available over the able. And thank God he chooses the available over the able. Because there's just some things I don't think I can do, yet God has showed me that I can do all things through him. And so the Lord promises in Scripture that if we put up the effort, he will advance us, he will bless, supply, guide, and he will touch and use us. So tonight I want to speak on the subject of God blesses effort. God blesses effort. Or effort equals God's favor. Effort equals God's favor. And I'm not speaking to you tonight trying to get you to make effort, but I'm trying to encourage you tonight because you have made effort. You've made effort to come to church on Wednesday night, and there are so many pews that are empty that I'm not saying they didn't make effort. They may have been providentially hindered, but you're here. And so this is a lesson just to encourage you to continue to do what you're doing for the Lord. So, I will say, if you're anything like me, it's easy to place a lot of pressure and stress on yourself while navigating through life, taking care of your family and the challenges that come with that, maintaining your marriage, raising kids, grandkids, great-grandkids, financial obligations. First and foremost, your spiritual life and spiritual endeavors. This can equal stress, fear, and worry if we're not careful. And so, therefore, if we put up a hearty, godly effort in all we do, the Lord promises to provide. God blesses effort. And so we don't have to live in a strain. We don't have to live stressed while navigating through life. If we just put up and continue to put up that effort, God will provide. Tonight I want to share some verses that you've heard of. Obviously, Matthew 6:33 being the first. And just try to gain a fresh perspective on these verses and really grasp the fact that effort equals blessings. So I want to give three verses in three words. The very first word I want to give is the word priorities. Priorities. Here in Matthew 6:33, it deals with priorities. The Bible says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So this verse deals with priorities. Now, there's two things that it deals with concerning priorities. It deals with heavenly things and earthly things. The heavenly things would be seeking first the kingdom of God. But then the earthly things would be, "And all these things shall be added unto you." And so he tells us tonight to seek the heavenly, and God will supply the earthly. You don't have to turn there. I'll give it to you because I'm moving kind of quick. Colossians 3:2 says, "Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And so we're told time and time again to set our affection, our desires, our passions, our focus on heavenly things, on the Lord, and He'll supply the earthly things. And so our priority tonight ought to be to seek the heavenly over the earthly. And when we do that, He'll provide for the earthly. Now look in verse number 32. The Bible says, "For after all these things," all those things mentioned, food, raiment, and clothing, "for after all these things do the Gentiles seek, the heathen, the lost. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." And so we see the Gentiles, the heathen, the lost, they're all caught up in the earthly. They're worried about the earthly. They're wringing their hands about the earthly. They're trying to meet their earthly needs. And so that's what the Bible says there, that the heathen, the lost, the Gentiles, they seek the earthly first. Their priority is money. Now, I will have you hold your place here and turn to 1 Timothy chapter number 6, verse 10. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 10, the Bible says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." We see that the writing of this letter here, he's mentioning some who have erred from the faith. And so it isn't just the Gentiles that can seek these earthly things first, but the saved can as well. But we're speaking of the Gentiles here. We're speaking of the heathen. And while the saved can experience this, we know that the Gentiles can and do more so, I'm sure. He says, "which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows," or "through with many sorrows." The word "pierce" there means to penetrate entirely. Of course, the word "sorrows" is grief. And so there are a lot of people who don't know Jesus as their Savior, and they're living for the earthly, trying to maintain the earthly. And I'm not saying that they're all caught up in money and the love of money. They're probably trying to meet their needs and probably trying to pay their bills. But many endeavoring to do that have penetrated entirely through their families and their lives many sorrows, many sorrows. The love of money. Money is not the root of all evil, but the love of money is, and the love of money can create holes in the family. Many people tonight, I know some who are saved and who are not saved, who have worried so much and got themselves into trouble financially and have, you know, went to great measures to supply their needs because of their mess-ups and such, and have pierced themselves entirely, have had holes in their family. In so much, divorce has happened, losing homes and cars. And so it's the love of money which is the root of all evil. But we see that the Gentiles, according to our verses, they seek the earthly. They seek the earthly. And back to Matthew 6. Verse 32, he says, "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek," speaking of them, seeking the earthly. But then it says, "for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." And so he tells us that we have a heavenly Father, and God knows what we need. And so the takeaway from all this, I believe, is that God blesses effort. He says in verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek the heavenly, seek God and His righteousness. Make Him your top priority. Sharing the gospel, doing what we're called to do and supposed to do. Seek the heavenly. Seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We seek the heavenly, and He'll provide for the earthly. And all these things shall be added unto you. And so we see number one tonight, when it comes to God blesses effort, we see that there are priorities here. Let us continue to seek the heavenly, and He'll provide for the earthly. Turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. There's a second word I want to mention in a second verse, and that is 1 Corinthians 15:55. And that is the word persistence. Persistence. And 1 Corinthians 15:55 deals with persistence. He says this: therefore, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because He rose from the grave, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so we've dealt with priorities, and now we're dealing with persistence. This verse tells us four things about persistence. Number one, there's the word continue. The first word, the first thing that this verse tells us is to continue. Continue. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. That word steadfast, it means continue. It means not changing. It means constant. God blesses effort when we continue, when we're constant. God blesses that. Being persistent. Not only the word continue or steadfast, but then there's the word stay or unmovable. He says, be ye steadfast, unmovable. Unmovable. Talking about being unmovable to barriers and obstacles. And we're gonna face obstacles. Everybody in this building has faced obstacles since you've been saved and before you got saved. But we'll continue to face obstacles. And the challenge is to stay unmovable when we face those obstacles. Paul says in another place, he says, none of these things move me. What does it take to really move us tonight? Does it take a foul word from someone? Does it take a tongue lashing from someone? Does it take someone not speaking to us when we feel like they should have, when we come to church? Does that move us from our steadfastness? What does it take to move us? Does it take a storm to move us? Well, it depends on the kind of storm it is. Some storms are more challenging than other storms. But he says, stay. He says, be unmovable. Unmovable to barriers. Unmovable to obstacles. Let us be unmovable from our beliefs and convictions. We're living in a time, prime time, where a lot are erring from their beliefs and are forsaking the things of God. There is a falling away. I mean, and it's going to get more and more. And so the challenge is to be unmovable. What we started out believing, continue to believe. Doesn't matter what comes our way. Doesn't matter. And I know this is easier preached than lived, but there's going to be all kinds of things come down the pipe to us to try to get us to be unmovable in our beliefs. Oh, well, you just got to accept this because that's what everybody accepts nowadays. Oh, you got to be more lenient with this because if you're not lenient with this, you'll be, you know, rendered a bigot or a racist. Well, I know everybody here, and I'm pretty sure that you know me. I know you do. And what we believe, according to the Bible, is always motivated by love, not hatred. And so as we continue to make our stand, as the times get more difficult and harsh, we will be perceived as racist on some occasions, as bigots and those who are narrow and are not open for anything, closed-minded churchgoers. Well, they can label us what they want to because we're not being motivated by hatred. We're being motivated by love and by God's Word. And regardless of what the community and the world says or what the news says, the Bible's true, and let every man be a liar. closer we get to the coming of the Lord, we're really going to see who sticks with the stuff or not. No disrespect calling the Bible stuff, but we're really going to see who is really in it, who's on the firing line, who stays with the Word of God. Many are falling away. Many are compromising their convictions. And so the Bible tells us to stay. Tells us to be unmovable. Be unmovable in our beliefs and convictions. Be unmovable in our purposes. What has God called you to do? And it may be something. It may be a job secularly that God has called you to serve at and make an income at the same time. And so the devil wants to do, and our flesh wants to try to get us in a jam so that we become movable and that we quit. That's the easy thing to do, is quit. But the Lord wants us to be unmovable in our purposes. It may get hard on the job. It may get hard pastoring. It may get hard as missionaries. It may get hard as a Sunday school teacher. And it does get difficult. But the challenge is to just be unmovable. Be unmovable. And God promises that He will bless our efforts in being unmovable. And so there's the word stay or unmovable. Then there's the word advance or abounding. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always abounding. The word abounding means to surpass the usual, to exceed a measure. So He's telling us to move forward. He's telling us to be unmovable, but He's also telling us to grow. He's telling us to advance. He's telling us to surpass the usual, whatever the measure of our Christian life is. He's telling us to go beyond that in Christian experience. He says, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So there's the word advance. But then there's the word understand. He says, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, or understand that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That word labor there, it means to cut. It means to toil. And so He's saying that, He says, I want you to be constant, be steadfast. I want you to be unmovable. I want you to surpass the usual. And I want you to understand that what you're doing is not in vain. Why isn't what we're doing for the Lord in vain? I'll tell you why. Because Jesus is out of that grave. He's been resurrected. We're not serving a dead God. God's not dead. We're not serving Muhammad. We're not serving Buddha. We're not serving any of those, because their labor would be in vain because they're in the grave. But Jesus is alive and He's coming back for us. And because of that, He says, again, that first word, therefore, because He's alive, He has risen from the grave. My beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, or know this, your labor, you're toiling for Him, being cut at times for Him, is not in vain in the Lord, is not empty. There's coming a payday someday. And look, there will either be reward or loss or reward in heaven, but not only then, but God rewards now. He rewards now. God blesses effort. Staying at that job, God will bless you. Staying in that position, God will bless you. Yeah, there's going to be times where you feel like you're being cut. There's going to be times where you're toiling and rowing, so to speak, and have caught nothing like the disciples. But the call on all of our life is to be unmovable, be constant, because there is coming a payday someday. But besides the payday, we're not really doing it for the payday. We're doing it because Jesus saved us, being motivated by love, but yet there is a payday. Jesus does take note of that. Our labor is not in vain. Our labor is not in vain because He's alive. Our labor is not in vain because we're serving a living Savior. He will reward us later, but also He blesses now as well. He sees our labor. He blesses our labor. Our labor is not in vain because of the resurrection. Now, I love this verse, but I like that phrase in here where He says, always abounding in the work of the Lord. The work of the Lord. There's a difference between the work of the Lord versus the Lord of the work. Sometimes, I don't know if you've ever gotten discouraged in doing what you're doing for the Lord or on the job, you know, living for Him in everything that you do. But sometimes it seems like we're working, we're serving, because we love Him, but doesn't seem like anything's coming out of it, no fruit. And we may get weary, and we take it personal, and we get discouraged. Well, there's something that I had to understand. I'm still learning. I can't get confused the work of the Lord versus the Lord of the work. He's the Lord of the work. It's up to Him when the fruit's produced. It's up to Him who gets saved. It's my job, your job, to plant. God waters, or another waters, but God gives the increase. So we're called to work for the Lord, but He's the one in charge of the work. And so because of that, knowing that, and listen, tonight, this isn't my church. This is God's church. Whatever position, Brother Jeff, the position, you and Miss Sharon serve, all you do around here, this, you know, this isn't your ministry, it's God's ministry. It kind of takes the pressure off, doesn't it? Brother Don, Sister Carla over there serving. Sometimes it gets difficult, I'm sure, over there. But realizing that it's not your mission, it's God's mission, takes the pressure off. And so this is something that I have to constantly learn when I get to that place of getting the mully grubs. Oh, I don't think anything's going to come of it. Well, I'll just quit and go work at Home Depot, you know, make an honest living, 9 to 5, and kick back on the weekends, ball games, you know, go to church and let somebody else worry about it. You know, it's tempting to get that way sometimes if we're not careful. But the Lord, this is His church. He placed me here based upon your vote. So we're here. We've been here, just hit 5 years, going into our 6th year as pastor. And He has called me, being here as pastor of His church, to just be steadfast. Justin, all I want you to do at Calvary is be steadfast. I just want you to continue. All I want you to do, Justin, at Calvary is be unmovable. There's going to come some things that will challenge you and may even cause you, if you're not careful, to be moved and walk away, but be unmovable. Be unmovable. Justin, I want you to abound at Calvary, surpass the usual, and your labor is not in vain because you're doing it for me. It's my work. I placed you there. And tonight, God bless His efforts. And I like to think that God has blessed since we've been here. It's His work. It's His doing. All we've done is put forth a little effort. And as I look back since the day we started to now, there have been a lot of good things done. Souls have been saved. There hasn't been, you know, 5,000 saved here. Not long ago, we baptized 8. You know, we're doing some remodeling around here, and some things are starting to look different around here. And the list goes on and on. We like to think God has allowed us to do a few things since we've been here. There's so much more to achieve. And the purpose is still the same, to be steadfast, unmovable, abounding in the work of the Lord, because our labor is not in vain. That's my call, and that's your call as well. God bless His efforts. And we see that in being persistent. Let me mention another one. There's the word priorities. There's the word persistence. And then there's the word perception. Perception. Hebrews 6, verse number 10, if you would. Hebrews 6, verse number 10. Hebrews 6:10 deals with perception. And there's two things mentioned about it in this verse, at least to me. He says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed towards toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Two words, two phrases, two things we need to perceive out of this verse. Number one, God not forgetting. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. God will do no wrong. And one of those wrongdoings would be forgetting. But God is righteous. He is not unrighteous. He will not forget the work that you do, the labor that you do motivated by love. He will not forget. So we need to perceive that God's not a forgetter. God will not forget. And what a blessing that is. He will not forget or fail to reward the endeavors of his people to promote his glory. You're trying to promote his glory and trying to raise his name so that all men will be drawn to him. God's not going to forget what you do for him. He's not unrighteous to forget that. If you're endeavoring to promote his glory, God's not a forgetful God. But not only do we need to perceive that, but we need to perceive our laboring. He says here, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. That tells me that they have ministered and they're still ministering. They didn't forget. They didn't forget that God doesn't forget. How about that? That can be kind of like twisty in your head a little bit. They didn't forget that God doesn't forget. No, he forgets. Did I get it right? God doesn't forget, and they didn't forget that. And that will do us all well. I know you know that God doesn't forget, but that does me good and does me well from time to time to just know that we don't serve a God who's forgetful. Let me not forget about the Lord and how he doesn't forget. The Lord doesn't forget tonight. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. We need to perceive our laboring, and that is the believers have labored and continuing to labor. They haven't quit. They're motivated by God's love to continue. God will not and cannot forget that. It's not in his nature to forget. He will reward. And so we need to perceive our laboring, meaning we have ministered, but let us continue to minister. And we continue to minister by knowing that God does not forget what we do for him. We have labored and continue to, not quitting, because God has not forgotten. So tonight we need to obtain the right perception. That is, God blesses effort. And the things done through him and for him, God blesses. Anything we do, wholesome, honest, and true, God has not forgotten about. God has not forgotten about. We're in Hebrews here, chapter 6, verse 10. If you flip over to Hebrews 11, 6, while we're in the close proximity, the Bible says in Hebrews 11, 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God's a rewarder. God blesses. God blesses effort. Let me leave you with this tonight. There's all kinds of other verses you can share having to do with effort. And probably one of the biggest thoughts today about this and how this thought came to me was actually thinking about the yard sale. And, you know, we don't know how it's going to go. I just know that I have a desire to see more physical improvements around here. Like we spoke about Sunday night from our heart in the Sunday night service, you know, making things more modern and more inviting. Things are inviting now, but we just need to be abounding, right? We need to be moving forward. And that's a burden of mine. I want to see this whole church totally transformed physically, the building and all, while we try to reach souls at the same time. And so I was thinking about that, and I got to thinking about God blessing the efforts that's going to be going into this yard sale. I got to thinking about the man with the withered hand, how that the Lord told him to stretch forth thine hand. And when he did, it was made whole like the other hand. It involves some stretching, but yet God healed it. He's seen the effort. Drawn in, wouldn't open up, but he put forth the effort, and when he did, God blessed it. It was whole like the other. I got to thinking about the lad and the loaves, the two fish and the five loaves. He went to Jesus, and all he had was a little sack lunch. But he believed in the hands he put it in. And he gave it to him. And God blessed that effort there. Fed the multitude, had plenty left over. Again, we said it Sunday, but there was a transfer and a transform during that process. He handed it over. He transferred it over to the Lord, and the Lord transformed it. God blessed his efforts. And I got to thinking about our endeavor this weekend and how I want it to do well. But I know this. I know that God's going to bless the effort. I know that. I know with not just that, but the continuation of our ministry here, Sunday school teachers, God's going to bless their efforts. The choir, when they say God's going to bless their efforts, our sound men, audio and video, God's going to bless their efforts and has blessed their efforts. Those in the nursery and everything we do here, we're just trying to little by little move forward. And I'm of the persuasion that God will see those efforts and bless it. But we have to give that effort. We have to give it. In John 15, don't turn there, but verse number 16, we see that soul winning brings reward. Go forth and bring forth fruit. And our fruit should remain. And whatever we ask, the Father will give it to us. If we're not winning souls, could that be a reason why God may not be answering some prayers? You know, that's heavy on the heart. Heavy. And of course, Galatians 6:9, doing right brings reward. Let us be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And so the takeaway from all this tonight is this: God blesses efforts. If we do things through Him and for Him, the things that are wholesome, honest, and true, God-centered, God will not forget about what we do for Him. Father, we love You tonight. We thank You for this time of togetherness. And Lord, we know that if we seek You first, that You will take care of us. If we seek the heavenly, You'll bless and add the earthly. In all the verses that we read tonight, Lord, we know that God, that nothing goes unnoticed. You have not forgotten. And Father, we just move forward in faith as a church, just putting in that effort to see things different. And so we pray, Lord, this Saturday that You bless the yard sale. And Lord, some may laugh and mock that because it's a yard sale. Who prays for yard sales? Well, I'm praying for the yard sale. And Lord, Your people are praying that it's not just a time of making money for this project, but that we might win somebody to the Lord, invite somebody to church. Lord, just let it be a fruitful time. Let us have a great time of fellowship, Lord, just being around each other and enjoying the day. And Lord, we do pray for this upcoming Youth Sunday that You would bless all of our young people in their singing, in participating. Be with Brother Brian, be with Brother CJ in the evening. And I pray even then, Lord, both services, that it'll be just a good, fruitful time. We love You tonight, and we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, anything to mention before we close?